Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Iris Bunshaft.
Hi there.
And we just finished a wonderful, wonderful interview with Rachel Bakshivi.
Bakshiev,
excuse me, and talking about diet and arthritis. But it was more of a conversation in diet in general, because even if it's not from an arthritic point of view, the proper diet makes sense. And if things should be eliminated from a diet because it may be affecting one thing, chances are it could be affecting another thing. And it's worth looking into. But, you know, it's almost like a one-month challenge, what she was saying. If you can give up flour and certain things for a month and you feel much better, then you go forward. If it doesn't change anything, then that's another story, you know.
The bottom line is the word inflammation. So it isn't just arthritis, but it leads to other things as well.
Right. That's true, Iris. And now we're going to go into our next guest, who is Jean Stone. And Jean is a certified SMP educator, SMP being Senior Medicare Patrol. And she's with the CMS, which is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Welcome, Jean.
I was with CMS for 46 and a half years with the federal government.
Oh, okay.
And I retired from there last July.
Oh, terrific.
And then I started volunteering for Senior Medicare Patrol. And we do outreach and education for seniors and caregivers and families.
I'm going to ask you, I should have asked you before. Do you know Barry Klitzberg?
I certainly do. One of my best friends.
Okay. Because when I read this, when I was reading your stuff prior to it, I said, Jean has to be a friend of Barry.
Yep.
This here is so important because I've done programs on this. We do a program called Project SAFE, Seniors Against Financial Exploitation.
Terrific.
And Barry's been on it, and this is very much a part of it because the scams that occur, and you don't realize that if something gets charged, which you're going to explain, in fact, I'm not talking any further. You did it for 46 years and now a volunteer. Tell me about how you got involved and the importance of this work.
Well, one of the big problems with healthcare is medical identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
And identity theft in general is one of the fastest increasing crimes in the U.S., financial crimes and things. And so the way in which it impacts Medicare beneficiaries, it's not just that their Medicare benefit is ripped off. Someone uses their Medicare number and the program is billed for services they didn't receive, but they might be liable for copay and deductible for services they didn't get. Or when they actually need a service, they can't get it. You know, for durable medical equipment like a wheelchair,
right.
Medicare has a 5-year useful life. So if someone bills the program for a wheelchair you didn't get, and then somewhere in that 5-year period you need a wheelchair, Medicare is not going to pay because they say,
You got one. That was the biggest thing that came across, because people look at a bill and say, well, I'm not paying. It says wheelchair. I don't care. They're not charging me the $500 or $1,000. You throw the bill away. You don't make a phone call and say this is wrong because it wasn't money out of your pocket. But then 2 years later, put in for a wheelchair, you're not getting it.
That's why the crooks sometimes do not bill coinsurance and deductible, because they don't want to upset or alarm the patient, because when it comes out of their pockets, that's when they pay attention.
Exactly.
That's why they advertise things as free. And it's not free. It might be free to the patient because they have coinsurance and they've got a supplemental insurer that's going to pay.
Right.
But the program is paying, and taxpayers are paying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because the vast majority of Medicare payments come out of payments to Social Security while you're working.
Okay.
And then your federal taxes.
Also, my concern was this just a leeway into then finding out what your Social Security number is and going into your bank account and doing all those other things that are really, really, really important that can throw your life away?
That's why I want to talk today about the new Medicare cards, because Congress passed a law requiring the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to remove Social Security numbers from the Medicare cards. So there's five facts I want to bring out.
Okay, let's go.
One is that your new Medicare card is not going to have a Social Security number. It's going to be like a credit card. It's going to have an 11-digit identifier that's a mix of numbers and letters.
This is not just for new people. This is for everybody's going to be replaced.
Right.
Okay.
Anybody new signing up is getting the new card now with the new numbers.
Okay.
And the second is that you're not going to see new cards in New York, if you're an existing person, until sometime August or later, because they're starting the mailings now. Nationwide, they started in April 2018, because it's going to take a full year.
No senior has to do anything to get this card. It's going to come in the mail automatically.
And that's what we're going to talk about coming in the mail, too.
Okay.
So Number one is the Medicare card doesn't have a Social Security number. Number two is the new cards are being mailed on a stage basis.
Rotating basis.
Okay. Right. So certain states are not going to get their cards until March 2019. You know, it's going to be a whole year. The change is going to take time because there are 55 million beneficiaries in the states.
Wow.
So they've got to, you know, roll them out. The Postal Service can't handle 55 million pieces of mail. Benefits, number four, benefits stay the same. The identifying number changed, but everything else stays the same. Okay, so nothing changes in Medicare.
So that when you go to a doctor and on the form it says your Medicare number, that old number is no longer relevant. It's only the new number that's used consistently? It's a question.
Right, and the new number will be from that point that you get your new card forward. For claims going through for services that you received using your old number, that claim will keep your old number on it until it processes through. So if you actually appeal something, something's denied, everything you see is going to have your old Medicare number on that. At the end of the full year in April 2019, everything's going to roll into your new number. But the minute you get your new card for new services going forward, use your new card.
Okay. All right. How does it work with the doctor's offices, and the hospital? Will they have you already on the computer?
That's why it's taken
a transition.
It took a whole year before we even got to the point of mailing the cards so that CMS can update all of its systems to accommodate the new numbers and tracking both numbers during the transition. And we had to allow for providers, hospitals, private insurance companies that provide supplemental insurance for state Medicaid agencies and everybody to accommodate the new numbers. So that because, you know, the way the Social Security number was set up, it's usually the digits followed by a letter, like A to showing you're the wage earner and
right,
you're the one that qualifies, or B for the spouse. They had to change it to accommodate letters in different spots and be able to crosswalk to your old number for the transition. So that's
in reality, that's going to take a lot longer than 1 year.
Well, that's why it was delayed until mm-hmm. now, because mm-hmm. they had to get providers ready.
The most important thing is during this transition, anybody listening, it behooves everybody to pay attention to your bills, because this is when an error can happen, which is fine. It's a transition, which means then you'll have to call up and say, I was double billed, or I wasn't billed, and they'll fix it. It's going to, you know, yes, nothing goes easy, but it'll work out, and it's better in the long run.
Gene, may I interrupt one more time here before you go on with the necessary things that we need to know? Lots of times in the billing, and I do look at it, are names that I don't recognize. And at one point several years ago, I called Medicare and said, well, I never went to such and such a doctor. And, you know, it was taken so lightly that I didn't feel that it was going to be effective at all.
Okay.
And I never heard from anyone again. But I also realize that even on bills that I get presently, the dates seem to be okay, but there are so many, those who take care of the billing mm-hmm. and or whatever. The names are not always names that I recognize.
Correct.
What's the meaning of that?
Okay. A hospital service or a medical service, when the claim comes to Medicare, it has the service that was rendered, the date the service was rendered, who the patient is, what your diagnosis is, why you're getting the service, and then who the rendering provider is. So if you get an x-ray, you're going to see your doctor, but your doctor also orders an x-ray. The doctor who interprets the x-ray might be a different doctor. You're going to see Dr. Jones, but Dr. Smith actually interpreted it. And so Dr. Jones' name will be associated with the visit, but the interpretation of the x-ray is going to be this other doctor you might not have seen. If you have a lab test and it goes to another lab, you're going to see the lab's name, and it's not going to be Dr. Smith, your doctor.
So how do you evaluate? You can't constantly be calling and saying, well, I don't know what this is.
Good
you know?
Point.
But if you had a lab test that day
yeah.
and you see that it's that the doctor's name is in relation to a lab test or an EKG or an x-ray or anything that was requiring, like a biopsy that requires a different service. But if you have a question, start with your provider first. Call the doctor's office and ask, you know.
Are they familiar with that name?
Right. Did you refer this out? You know, who is he? Is he related to you? Is he part of your group? Because everybody in group practices these days, you know, can be two doctors to 20 doctors, mm-hmm. you know, and they can be multi-specialty.
Right.
So you can be going in for your cardiologist and your asthma. And so you're going to have a pulmonologist, you know, billing for one thing and a cardiologist billing for the other, or their name is associated with it.
Or they don't have all their names as billing to the patient, but internally they know who's which doctor gets the credit for it.
Right.
It's complicated.
And there are times, call the provider first.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions, call 1-800-MEDICARE. You said you had done that before.
I had done that, yes.
Now, they do track complaints. And so if this is the first complaint about Dr. Smith, if it's the 15th or the 50th about Dr. Smith, that gets prioritized and moved up the line, and then there are investigations behind the scenes. What they will not do is call you back. If there's an investigation ongoing, they will not confirm it. They won't say when you call up and complain about Dr. Smith, like, Dr. Smith, yeah, tell me about that. You know, they will neither confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. But please call if you have questions. And if you have complaints. One of the other great things is that you look at your Medicare summary notice and you look at your bills. They've done surveys and less than 40% of people actually look at their quarterly Medicare summary notice.
What is it?
Less than 40% actually look at the notice. It comes in the mail every quarter.
Yeah.
Unless they owe anything.
Right, that's
right?
it.
Right? I mean, that's it. But, you know, everybody pays for fraud.
Right, that's the point.
Right. Now, the main point I want to make about the new cards is that you don't need to do anything. No one is going to call you and ask you about, you know, your Medicare number or anything else. But they're going to mail the cards. CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, is mailing it to the address on record with Social Security. Now, when people used to get a monthly check from Social Security, they made sure Social Security knew exactly what their address was. But now, Social Security payments are usually electronic fund transfer.
I'm going to hold you off for a second. Uh-huh. We have a break coming in about there. We'll take an early break because I want to keep this theme going.
Perfect.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.